chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20 tonight, and this is part number three, I think. I'm going to stop saying that, I guess, because these parts are going to keep getting longer and longer. We're in Exodus chapter 20, which is where we have the giving of the Ten Commandments. I've already preached twice on this, and we begin our reading in verse number 1, and we'll pick up with verse number 7 tonight. That'll be as far as we get. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words. And I've began a message entitled, All These Words. This is part number 3 to this message. And I remind you that I've preached twice on this already. You can go back and get it. For time's sake, because of everything I'm trying to get to tonight, I'm going to jump right down to verse number 7. There are several things that we've given so far. First of all, the authority of all these words is God Himself. Secondly, the account of all these words, and that's where we're at, the giving of the Ten Commandments. We've already looked at commandment number 1 in verse number 3. We've already looked at commandment number 2, verses 4 through 6. You can go back and get that and hear that preached. We've come for our subject tonight to commandment number 3. It's found in verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now I want to say to you tonight that the Lord has really worked me over in my study just about this thought that I'm giving to you tonight. And how God has shown me things, maybe things I knew, but just like a fresh touch upon it. This third commandment the Lord gave was, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This command is absolutely majestic and powerful. That's going to take me a while now, so just stay with me here. In Bible times and in Bible language, names were associated with the character of the person that was named. It's no different with the name of God. What I'm saying to you is His name stands for His nature. His name stands for His being, His character. All He is, all He does, and all He says is included in His name. And Ms. Lashley put it this way, and I'm going to be referring to her a little bit tonight. She's here. I appreciate her insight. She said, and I quote, what the telescope is to the scientist, the name of God is to his children. In other words, what he says about his name, the names that he gives himself, he's showing us different parts of who he is. You realize it's been reported that there are more than 300 names of God in the Bible. Over 300 of them. And each one of these names is a revelation of a unique aspect of His infinite nature. Let me just give you some of these, okay? First of all, Alpha and Omega. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. He's showing us His sovereignty. He has no beginning, no ending. He is the beginning and the end. Secondly, we notice He's called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verse number 11. And in that name, He's showing us His compassionate care for His sheep. In Revelation 17, 14, he calls himself the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And in that, he's showing us a close-up of his power and his authority. In John chapter 1, verse 29, he's called the Lamb of God. These are all his names. And in that name, he's showing us a close-up of his sacrifice. In Genesis 1:1 and other places, he uses the name Elohim. It's God in your English Bible. But in the Hebrew, it's the name translated from Elohim, Creator God. And in that, he's showing us his mighty power. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, and Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and even here in Exodus chapter 20, we see he uses the name Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And this name Jehovah shows his eternality, his redemption. As a matter of fact, the name Jehovah is a combination of three different words. And those words mean this. The future tense of one word means he will be. The present tense means he that is, and the past tense is he was. And when you put them all together, he's saying by the name Jehovah, I was, I am, and I always will be. He's the eternal, unchanging, unchangeable I am. As a matter of fact, he uses this name often in the Bible, and he uses it with combinations. For instance, in Ezekiel 48:35, he uses the name Jehovah Shammah, which means God is there. That's his name. He uses in Exodus 22:14, Jehovah Jireh, the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And God stayed Abraham's hand, and he showed him a ram caught in a thicket. And he said, the Lord will provide. That's Jehovah Jireh. We see in Exodus 17:15 that he used the name Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is our banner. In Judges 6:24, he used the name Jehovah Shalom, which means he is our peace. And I've experienced that name this week. I've experienced him as my peace. He has given me peace about things that the devil's trying to bombard my mind about. And Jehovah Shalom met with me in this auditorium. Jehovah Shalom has met with me in my private closet, and he has given me peace. In Jeremiah 23:6, it's the name Jehovah, something like Tsid Kanu, which means he is our righteousness. In Exodus 15:26, it's Jehovah Rapha, meaning he's the one that healeth you. In Psalm 23:1, he is Jehovah Ra, which means he is my shepherd. We see the name Jehovah. We see the name Adonai in Genesis 15:1-2. And that shows him as master, and that shows him as Lord. In Genesis 14:19-20, we see him named El Elyon, which means he owns it all. We see in Genesis 17:1 that he's given the name El Shaddai, which shows him as Almighty God. El Elyon is the name that shows him in those verses as right here as the Most High God and the possessor of heaven and earth. He owns it all. And one of his names tells us that about him. I'm telling you, I'm getting blessed right here. I'm getting blessed with just the mighty name of God Almighty. I mean, he's called El Shaddai, that I've already said in Genesis 17:1, and this name emphasizes that he is the all-sufficient one. These names, along with hundreds more, show just a glimpse of his majesty, a glimpse of his wonder, a glimpse of his amazement, and of his holy name. We need to get a fresh glimpse of the mighty name of God. Realize how holy his name really is. He's the one whom the seraphims cry in Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. His name is glorious. Deuteronomy 28:58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. His name is precious and given to his people as a great refuge. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. His name is reverend. In Psalm 111:9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. His name is above every name. Philippians 2:9-10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. What a name, the mighty, majestic name of God. His name is to be praised. Psalm 135:3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. His name is to be blessed. Psalm 100:4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. His name is to be glorified. Psalm 115:1. I'm starting to get a little bit happy up here. Psalm 115:1. Now, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us,
cross, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. What a name! The name of God, the name of El Shaddai, the name of Jehovah and all the derivatives that come from it, the name of Elohim, the name of the Good Shepherd. What a mighty name! But many times, this majestic name is carried through the mud. Many times, this majestic name is not given the reverence that he is so worthy of. And in this third commandment, God demands reverence for his name. He is saying, be careful how you use my name. God commands that his name is not to be noticed. And he says, thou shalt not take. You know what that word take means? It means you shall not carry it. You shall not bear it. Don't carry and bear my name in vain. You know what that word vain means? It means emptiness or vanity. Stay with me now, because can I say this to you? Are you listening to me? You're not going to like me right here. More than likely, you've broken this commandment. You say, wait a minute, I've never used the curse word after the name God. That's what we've limited this commandment to. God has shown me something, friends. I'm telling you. It means that when you use that name, you make sure it's not used in an idle sense. You make sure it's not used in an insincere way, a phony way, lacking reality and lacking truth. This word is used elsewhere to describe vain works in Psalm 127, verse 2. Same word, vain, vain. It's used to describe worthless idols in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. It's used to describe false prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24. It carries the idea of using his name in a way that reduces it to almost nothing. To use his name in a worthless way. To use his name in an empty fashion. Like, how dare say God? And it's not with purpose. Stay with me here. Stay with me. I'm telling you that it's a forbiddance to speak anything or to show anything that so much reflects any irreverence for his holy name. One man put it this way, in our ordinary speech, in our religious devotions, nothing must enter that in any wise lowers the sublime dignity and the high holiness of that name. Our thoughts and speech of God shall fit his name. We are to approach his name with utmost awe, utmost respect, and utmost holiness. Interesting that the Lord's pattern prayer, not the Lord's prayer, but the Lord's pattern prayer for believers started out in Matthew 6, 9 by saying this, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One commentator put it this way, to use the name of God in a profane light or irreverent manner, or to mention it without good reason, tends to lessen the reverence which the soul ought to feel for him, to render it reckless and increasingly wicked, and is a flagrant offense against the ruler of the universe. Don't ever use God's name lightly. Don't ever use God's name rashly, irreverently, or unnecessarily, or without weight or sufficient cause. Get this. His name is not to be used unless it is in connection with praising it, lifting it up, glorifying it. One commentator put it this way, or one preacher put it this way, the scribes would, when they came to the name of God in the writing, They would stop writing. In other words, they're writing down, the scribes. They would stop writing when they came to the name of God. They would thoroughly wash themselves, change pens, and then write the name of God. And afterward, when they just wrote the name of God with that new pen, they would throw the pen away so it could never be used to write another word. This has been lost in this world. This has been lost in this country. And sad to say, some are not even aware of it. It's been lost among the families of this church. Stay with me. I'm trying to help you. God has helped me this week. Before you think you've not broken this command, I want to give you four ways tonight that people take God's name in vain. Four ways. And I want you to ask God to speak to your heart. Miss Lashley sitting here, I know you don't like me referring to what you say, but I like to give credit where it's due. She said this, and I quote, "How foolish man becomes when he misuses the name of him on whom each of us is dependent in this life as well as in the life to come." Let me give you four ways tonight that people take his name in vain. Be honest. When you think about thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, you think of God and a curse word. True or not? And that is true. But it is so much more than that. You ready for some help here? I want to give it to you. Four ways. Number one, careless speech. Careless speech. Let me explain. Some use the Lord's name in vain in defiance. I don't think that's anybody in this auditorium. I don't think you'd be here tonight. Okay? But there is an attitude going around that they don't care what God thinks. They don't care what anybody else thinks. And the attitude of standing up to God, if you will, and swearing just because they want to. And nobody's going to tell them how to live their life. While most do not use that, that is a form of it. God uses a curse word and doesn't care what anybody thinks about it. Doesn't care if there's a Christian in the room or not. They're just going to live their life, say their things. That is for sure breaking this command. Everybody's agree with that, right? But we're a church crowd tonight. Surely we don't have anybody like that here. And while I say this, while most here, I hope all here, don't use the Lord's name in vain in this fashion defiantly, others here use his name in vain flippantly. Flippant talk concerning his majesty. Not even aware that they're even doing it. Stay with me now. Do you realize that slang language is considered in this command? You ever heard the word gosh? You realize that's a euphemism for God? You ever heard this? Gee whiz! Now, I'm not taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm just giving you illustrations to show you what's involved in this command. You know what G is? It's a euphemism for the name Jesus. Look it up. You ever heard or used these words? Other forms of taking the name of the Lord in vain would be things like this. Oh my God. No doubt in a crowd this size, somebody uses that. Now again, I'm emphasizing, I'm not taking his name in vain in front of you. I'm just giving you illustrations to help you see and connect the dots. Something happens, oh my God. But then somebody says, I'm not doing it. All I say is, oh my gosh. All I say is, gee, why'd that happen? You know what that is? That's you trying to ease your conscience. And that's a human being saying it's not as bad as saying his name. In God's eyes, that's exactly what you're saying. Amen, friends. Now I'm telling you tonight, listen to me. You ever heard this? Goodness gracious. Who's goodness? Who's gracious? God. That is referring to God. Goodness gracious. And what he's saying is you're using my name worthlessly when you do that. That's not bringing praise to me. You ever heard this? Lordy, Lordy. What am I saying to you? I'm saying the bottom line is this. Anytime you use the name of God or a derivative of it, it is to advance his glory. It is not to be used in an empty fashion. Or it is taking it in vain. Now, somebody might say, I never knew that. You do now. You do now. That may be a legitimate excuse to this point. I never knew that. You mean when I say gosh or gee or goodness gracious or oh my goodness, you mean that's taking his name in vain? Yes, that's taking his name in vain. Because even though you're not literally saying God, when you say goodness, you're referring to God. When you say gosh, that's just a softer word for God. When you say gee or gee whiz, that's just a softer word for Jesus. And it's all included in this command. Little Mary, attending Sunday school for the first time one Christmas season, eagerly listened as her teacher told of the birth of God's Son. It was her first time. This little girl thrilled to hear the story of the angels and the wise men, the star and the gifts. Then the teacher added, "And they shall call his name Jesus." This little girl, who had never been in church before, she looked over at the person beside her and said, "Why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word?" Because that was the first time she had ever heard his name used outside of a curse. It's a shame. Now listen, this message is a message that condemns. It's part of the law, okay? That's what the law does, it condemns. So if you're sitting there right now saying, "I wonder if I use that," just ask your wife or ask your husband, they'll be glad to tell you. They'll be glad to tell you. And if you do, get on your face and ask God to forgive you for something that maybe you really didn't even realize what you were doing. That's possible, you know, it is. But that's no longer an excuse in your household. The preacher ruined that for you, okay? And I'm telling you that it's a shame that even in God's own children, that his name is being used in vain. A worthless fashion in everyday language. It's been said, and I quote, "The heathen have greater reverence for their false gods than we do for the true God." Well, how true is that? By the way, how important was this to God? Don't turn to it. Just listen to this. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 10 to 16. Listen to this. "And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed." He took the Lord's name in vain. "And they brought him unto Moses," verse 12. "They put him inward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said, Bring forth him that had cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death." Now, civil government under God has not been given the right to do that today. But in Bible times, he gave them that right. And you say, does God look at it lightly? What do you think? God says, if you blaspheme my name, if you take my name in vain, in the Old Testament, the whole congregation was to take you out and kill you. One commentator put it this way. Well, this is powerful. He said, Leviticus 24, verses 10 to 13, describes what happened to a man who did take the name in vain. And if the Ten Commandments had been enforced on America like they were enforced on Israel, every street corner, tennis court, bar room, business office, lunch counter, bathroom, bus station, football stadium, garage, ball diamond, dance hall, restaurant, courtroom, jail, hospital, and traffic light would have a pile of stones by it big enough to build a ranch-style house. There'd be people stoned on every corner. I'm simply saying to you, don't speak
his name or a derivative of it in a worthless fashion. Make sure that when you say his name, you are praying to him, you are lifting him up, you are asking his help, you are glorifying him, but you're not using his name as a tag on because something didn't go your way. Oh my gosh, gee whiz, oh my God. Again, friends, I'm using that for emphasis' sake. Don't be guilty of that. Because God said, if you do that, I will not hold you guiltless. That's what he says. Matthew 12:33-37, either make the tree goodness fruit good or else make the tree corruptness fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, I don't know what all that means. And I don't want to find out either. And I know this, that we speak what's in our heart. And if you drag his name in the mud, that's really what you think about him. A missionary to the Orient witnessed a 20-year-old native approaching a heathen idol. He watched this 20-year-old as he bowed before this idol and quickly pulled out a knife. Can you imagine this? And took his tongue and cut it off. And placed his tongue before that idol. Within minutes, the young man collapsed in a pool of his own blood at the idol's feet. You know, can I say this to you? God doesn't want your tongue cut from your head. He gave it to you. But he does want your tongue consecrated. And he wants it dedicated wholly to his worship. Wholly to his praise. Wholly to his glorification. People take the name of the Lord and Lord God in vain by careless speech. Number two, do you realize you can take the name of the Lord in vain by concealed thoughts? Careless speech, what you say out loud. You realize people can take the name of the Lord thy God in vain in your mind? Nobody else will ever know about it. Job 1 verse 5, listen to this. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings to according to the number of them all. For Job said, listen to this, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job was offering offerings because he thought, just in case my boys have taken God's name in vain in their thought life. I submit to you that you do not have to say his name out loud to use it worthlessly. I submit to you that you do not have to shout it from the rooftop to take his name in vain. Do you realize that this old flesh is so apt to take his name in vain, even if you never breathe that word, you still think it. And God has said, guilty. Careless speech, concealed thoughts. Number three, casual use. You say, what do you mean? What I mean by this is Sunday after Sunday, Christians utter the name of God in songs. They sing about him. They utter his name in prayers and they utter his name in testimonies. But often there's no sincerity there. There's no genuine reverence for that name. In other words, it's not given from the heart. It makes a spiritual sound, so we use it. But when we invoke the wonderful name of God, we are to do so with meaning and significance. And whenever that name is used, it must be used reverently, respectfully, and from a heart of adoration and worship. Otherwise, it's being used improperly and in vain. Beware, therefore, of the casual usage of God's holy name. What a friend we have in Jesus. You sing it because everybody's singing it.
But in your heart, you're doubting because things aren't going your way. And you breathe that name with your words, but it's just a casual use. You're just singing it because everybody else is. You understand that point? Just casually throwing it out. Throwing it out. Take it in vain that way. Now, I may not have hit you yet, but I'll guarantee I'll hit you with number four. Oh, this is where God got me. How do you take his name in vain? Careless speech with your words. Some people they're not innocent because because somebody's ignorant of something doesn't mean that they're not guilty of committing a crime, you understand? But some people have come in here tonight and they've never heard that. And say, I don't use his name, but I have been using derivatives of it. God's speaking to me. Then change it. Careless speech. Concealed thoughts in your mind. Casual use, just singing about his name or whatever. You just using his name, but it's all for show. It's just because somebody else is singing it. And number four, here it is. You can take his name in vain by a condemning life. I never knew this. I never understood this. Or really, I never heard it put in relation to this command. Let me just say it that way. The Word of God teaches that one can take the name of the Lord in vain by the life they live. Did you know that? In other words, if our life, just how we live, calls God's reputation into question and doesn't give the right revelation of who He is, we have just used His name in vain. I'm going to prove this to you, so stay with me here. See, this is due to the fact that the Lord said, thou shalt not take, thou shalt not bear, thou shalt not carry the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do you realize that if you're saved, you are bearing His name everywhere you go? You are carrying His name, you are taking His name with you? 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what that means? It means we represent Him. Let me give you some Bible illustrations of this. David and Bathsheba. When you think about the story of David and Bathsheba, his flesh got the best of him. He was supposed to be on the battlefield, but he stayed at home. Make a long story short, he saw this lady who wasn't clothed. He called her to his house. She was married to another man. They had immoral relations. All of this, she's going to have a baby. And God sent a preacher. By the way, one of my unsung heroes in the Bible is a man by the name of Nathan. What a man of God he was. He went to King David, and here's what it said. 2 Samuel 12:13 to 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Get this now. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born of thee shall surely die. You know what Nathan was telling David? When you made that decision, excuse me, to have immoral relations with a married woman, you drug God's name in the mud pit. Listen to this. Romans chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? In other words, he's dealing with hypocrisy. You see what I'm saying? People were getting up saying, don't steal, and they were stealing. And he's saying this, you who preach to others that you shouldn't steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Get this. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. That That is powerful, friends. God is saying, you who say you tell others you shouldn't steal and you're stealing. You tell others you shouldn't commit adultery, but you commit adultery. You tell others I hate idols, but you're guilty of sacrilege. You that say you ought to live by the law and you're breaking the law. In other words, he's saying, you're telling people how they ought to live and you're not doing it. Your life does not match your lips. And he's saying this, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you when you do that. So the next time you think about going your own way, doing your own thing, teenagers, young adults, older adults who said, I'll live my life, I'll do whatever I want to do, you take the name of God with you when you have that attitude. And when you live your own life, go your own way, do your own things, and you realize God does not want me to do that. God has told me no. God has told me to stay away, and you do it anyway. That is not anything to wink at. Because God is saying, by the life you live, where you go, my name goes. You are carrying my name. You are bearing my name. Stay out of the mud holes. Stay out of the pig pens. And make sure the way you live your life is saying he truly is God. Quiet in here tonight. Quiet in my own heart too. Alexander the Great got very upset with one of his soldiers because one of his soldiers was a coward and ran away in a battle. He confronted this young man and asked him what his name was. Son, what is your name? Remember, it's Alexander the Great talking to him. The young man said, my name is Alexander. And Alexander the Great replied, apparently in anger, either change your character or change your name. The way we use God's name reveals how we really feel about him. Let us determine with our words, thoughts, and life to bring glory and honor to his precious holy name. God says for those, back in Exodus 20 verse 7, notice it, God says for those who take his name in vain, he said, I will not hold him guiltless. Imagine standing before God trying to defend taking his name in vain. God is basically saying this, be careful how you use my name. Make sure you use it truthfully. Make sure when you utter it with your lips or when you show it with your life or when you think about it in your mind, you make sure that when you think about my name, speak about my name, or live out my name, you make sure that it's bringing praise to it. Otherwise, you've taken it in vain. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Psalm 34:3, oh magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. Psalm 66:2, sing forth the honor of his name. God is good. God is great. God is majestic, holy, separate from sin. And God is saying, I have given you my name. I am bearing the name of God. And when they hear how I speak, if they could see how I think and they watch how I live, am I truly being a reflection of whose name I carry? Do you see this? You understand it? Are you cut tonight? Can I say this to you? God steps all over my feet too when I preach. Let us lift His name high and holy. And be very, very careful when we even think about using His name. Is this going to bring Him praise? Is this going to bring Him glory? Is this going to bring Him honor? Is this action I'm getting ready to do going to bring Him glory? Is where I'm going going to bring Him glory? Is how I'm responding going to bring Him glory? Is how I'm treating my wife going to bring Him glory? Is how I'm treating my husband going to bring Him glory? Is the name of God being lifted high and holy in your relationships, or is it being taken in vain? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For he that taketh it in vain, I will not hold him guiltless. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Bless this service. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word. What a powerful command. Show us what you're saying. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Tonight I want to start where God would have me to start, and that is this. Are you guilty of being an unbeliever? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've said yes to Jesus? No to your sin? Are you truly born again, is what I'm asking. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? If not, come let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you about bearing His name. It could be in careless speech. It could be in casual use. It could be in concealed thoughts. It could be a condemning life. Maybe God has His hand on the pulse. God's name is majestic, friends. Are you representing it well? Or are you using it in a careless way? Guilty of euphemisms? You guilty of doing things or saying things that you know is bringing reproach to His name instead of lifting it up? May the Lord add His blessing to this. You see what He's saying. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed, with the mic singing. God is speaking to your heart. Would you come? Come now. Would you do it, please? As He sings, you come now, please.
There have been names I love to hear.
Faith Ball, her parents, Richard and Sheila, a precious family. She's been struggling physically.
She's had surgery, still dealing with a few issues. And she, as a young lady, this is according to James, the Word of God doesn't tell us to go to them. The Word of God says, let them come to you. And she has sought us out, and she has asked that we anoint her with oil tonight. And I appreciate that. Appreciate your faith. Her name's Faith. So appreciate Faith having faith, you know what I mean? If there's any ordained preachers here tonight, there may not be. It might just be me. That's fine. And I remind her and I remind you that there's no power in this oil. It's not in the oil. There's nothing supernatural about this. You understand that. We've talked about that this morning. It's important that you understand that. This is nothing spooky. This is biblical. Read the book of James chapter 5. The Bible says the prayer of faith shall save him. And all this is a representation of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. And what we're doing tonight is we're laying our hands on you with this oil. And we're giving it to Jesus. But you have to do that yourself too, okay? You understand that. And if God so chooses, God has the power to reveal what's wrong and to correct the problem. He also has power, if he doesn't even want to reveal it, just to correct it anyway. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we're trusting him for, okay? This will be our closing prayer here. Brother Bob, if you'd like to participate with this, I'll let you start. And then I'll finish us here. I'm just going to ask you just to stay right there, okay? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. We're praying that the Lord will touch her and heal her if it be his precious will, okay? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of breathing that holy name in prayer. And I pray right now that if there's anything in my heart and life that hinders you from hearing my prayers, would you forgive me, remove it, get it out? Please hear me tonight. Thank you for the faith of this young lady who's called for us to anoint her with oil. And I pray, Lord, that you honor her request and her mom and daddy's request, her brother, as they are no doubt praying and praying hard for a healing. And I pray on their behalf that you will give them a yes if it be your precious will. Would you touch her? Would you heal her? Would you reveal to the doctors what needs to be revealed? And may it be correctable. May it be fixable. And I pray that in the very near future that she comes rejoicing in the goodness of God. Help her to lay it at your feet and trust you for the answer, no matter what the answer is. But we're praying for a favorable answer. We're praying for an answer of yes for her, and we're asking and believing for her healing. Would you grant that, I pray? Please. Please. Please, in the name above every name, the name that every knee will bow, every tongue confess, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Trust Him. He'll give you the right answer. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Remind the deacons, I need to see you just briefly. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight. If you need to see me, just hang around for a few minutes, and I'll be right here. If you want to come say a word to Faith and her family, you come right ahead, okay?